2 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you for the wonderful musical program you have had every night for the meeting. And I am very grateful for that. I wish my wife Sharon could be here. She was a music major in college, has a lovely voice. And I tell congregations across America that my wife is the calm before the storm. And she has a lovely voice, and I do miss her. You hope you understand that's God's plan for our lives right now. Okay, well, I'm going to bring a message on 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And really, I'm going to do something which I don't do very often when I'm going to... I usually have a stand, and I just read the text. But you all know this so well. Let's all stand, and then if you need to look at the text, you can sit out loud with me. I'll give the reference, and then let's all say it together. Okay, here we go. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. One of the golden passages in God's Word. And I'll tell you what, America is getting away from this book. It must be thundered across this country. The only answer for you, sir, or you, lady, if you're unsaved, is the message of God's Word. And as a child of God, this is what God has given us. And tonight, I pray that the message will be used of God to deepen our walk with Him. Let's pray. Oh, dear Father, again we ask for your help. We pray, Lord, the Spirit of God will take your Word and apply it to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. May be seated, please. Our text begins by stating, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, the word inspiration literally means God breathed. Therefore, you can rightly read this passage, all Scripture is God breathed. That means the Scriptures came from the very person of God Himself. Jeremiah 1 says, then the Lord before this hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. 2 Samuel 23:2 says, the Spirit of God spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Exodus 32:16 says, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God. Which means this, the Scriptures literally came from the divine mouth and divine finger of God Himself. And since that's so, congregation, it means the Scriptures are completely trustworthy. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 15:3, now are you clean through the words which I've spoken unto you. 1 Kings 8:56, there hath not failed one word of all his good promises. In John 10:35, Jesus said, the Scriptures cannot be broken. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Matthew 5:18, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Psalm 138, verse 2, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Congregation, tonight, we stand on the great truth, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But why has God given us His Word? Well, He first of all, from this passage, shows us He gave it for our spiritual growth. Our text goes on to say, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And that statement for doctrine shows you God gave us His Word for our spiritual growth. That's what the Word of God tells us. In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Look, every time you open your Bible, you ought to bow your head and say, dear God, give me understanding as I read your word. You know why? Because the way that you will grow, mature, and develop is by the intake of God's word within your life. But are you aware of the night? And this is shocking. I read the statistics several years ago that only 17% of Christians read the Bible on the daily, regular basis. And then, to even shock you more, that survey revealed that many Christians only read the Bible once a month. Now look here, congregation. If I have no food in my body, two things happen to me. One, I get very weak. Physically, I get very weak. Number two, I get very irritable. If my wife were here tonight, she would give the loudest amen on that. And I could sit down at the table, and I can just take a few bites of food, and guess what? I get my energy back. You know why? Because food is my source of nourishment. It's where I get the energy. And that's why I can project as I can. And as food is so crucial to my physical body, in the spiritual realm, this is my spiritual food. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Psalm 119:97, oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation of the day. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, the word of God says, every word of God is pure. And child of God, I'll tell you something tonight. You're going to struggle all of your life until you realize the only way you could ever grow is through the power of God's word He's given for your spiritual nourishment. But second of all, look back at our text. He gave us His word to spiritually groom our lives. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine. Now get this, for reproof, for correction. Now that statement, for reproof, for correction, shows you God gave us His word to spiritually groom our lives. Now keep your finger right here and go to Titus, the next page over. Titus chapter 2, if you will. When you turn there, look this way for just a moment. As I travel across our nation, I'm often asked this question among God's people. Well, Brother Jerry, how should I live as a Christian? Hey, teenagers, look at me. I want to talk to you teens. I've spent my life, poured my life into you young people. I've spoken over 30 years at all the different youth camps across America. Young man, young lady, listen to me right now, please. I'm going to tell you something. The only way God can ever groom your life is by the teaching found in one verse, okay? You adults, I want you to realize there's only one way God wants to groom our lives of what you should be. What is it? Look at Titus 2, verse 12. teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So you know how you should live? Look at me. We should live soberly. That means sound in your reasoning. Righteous means righteous in your living. Godly means godly in your example. How does the Lord take any one of us, make us a sober, righteous, and godly individual? One word. Teaching us that denying, and there's a key. Throughout the Word of God, we see this great truth emphasized. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Galatians 5:24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affection and lust." Romans 13:14, "But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So over and over God tells you, denial, denial, which means this, congregation. You must put your life in complete submission and obedience to God's commandments, God's law, God's precepts, God's statutes, and God's ways. So, whatever God condemns, you will never condone. What God forbids, you will never endorse. What God denies, you will never embrace. Why? Your life is lived in complete submission and obedience to God's word. Psalm 119:9-11 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, I call my word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And child of God, there's no way God could ever make you the sober, righteous, and godly individual you could ever be until you are submissive to what God has instructed you in the Word of God. But third of all, look back at our text. He gave it for our spiritual guidance. Our text concludes by stating the last statement, for instruction in righteousness. Now look this way. It says, this book has been given for instruction in righteousness. Now, many years ago, my daughter, when she was just a little girl, for one Christmas, I bought her a little tricycle, a little pink tricycle. And I was going to put the tricycle together on Christmas Eve. Look at me, congregation. As long as I live, I will never put a toy together on Christmas Eve. Because I went in my study, I locked the door, I opened this big box where the tricycle was, I pulled out, and the first thing I pull out is an instruction sheet. And I got mad. You know why? I said, "I'm a college graduate. I've gone to graduate school. They're insulting my intelligence. Instruction sheet for a little rinky-dinky tricycle." So I made a basketball and threw it in a wastebasket. And then I proceeded to put the tricycle together. And when I finished, I'm picking up papers, putting in the box. I looked on the floor and I saw two washers like this. And I said, "I wonder where they go." So I crawled over into the garbage of the garbage can, and I pulled the garbage can, that paper out, and I straightened out the instruction sheet, and then I said, "Oh, no!" And you would have said the same thing, too. You know why? You know where those two little washers went? You know the little pedals going like this? Well, those washers were supposed to go on the inside. However, to put them on the inside, I had to take the pedal off. But before I could take the pedal off, I had to take the metal cap off. I want confession, please. How many of you have ever tried to take one of those metal caps off after you put it on? Would you raise your hand high in the... Well, bless your heart, gentlemen. Thank you for your honesty. Now, when I get mad at myself, you may not believe this, congregation, but when I get mad at myself, you know what I want to do to myself? Slap myself. And I'm left-handed. And I took this hand right here. I said, "Oh, Jerry, I should slap you as hard as I can right now. Just right, like right across the face." Yeah, you're a college graduate. Oh, yeah. You're smart. Oh, you've gone to grad school. Yeah. Look at all the time you wasted. You know what, congregation? We laugh at that. But I wonder under the sound of my voice tonight, sir, look at me. Lady, please look at me. I doubt if any of you have ever taken a Bible and thrown the Bible in the garbage can. But listen to the statements. If you have never allowed anyone to open the Word of God and show you how you can receive Christ as your Savior, you might as well have. You hear me? You might as well have. Because the only way you are ever instructed in righteousness is through the Word of God. In John 5:28, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures. In them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." The whole Bible testifies of Jesus Christ. It points you to Him, my friend. And I thank God that one night, a man of God took the Bible, sat down, and he showed me how I could come to God's righteousness. And by the way, the Word of God makes it very clear what God's righteousness is. If you want it, listen to the one passage in the Bible that seals it. Romans 10:4, the Bible says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Christ is the very end. You want righteousness, you've got to come to Him. Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10 is very powerful. It states that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Get that? With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And my friend, I thank God, when you call upon Christ, God's righteousness, He will save you. And this book has been given to guide you, most of all, to God's Son. Let's bow our heads and pray, please.